dishwasher to make certain nothing had been broken or chipped. The glass tubes and retorts were still warm in his hands. He'd been thinking that it would be much more efficient if they made the lab apparatus out of lunar glass steel, which was unbreakable, but then figured it would cost too much. Cheaper to gather up the broken bits and recast them. Just as graduate students were an economic advantage over robots, old-fashioned chippable lab glassware was used instead of glass steel. "I haven't seen you in a while." The voice startled Grant so badly he nearly dropped the hand-blown tubing he was holding. Looking up, he saw it was Zara Muzarawa.
"Oh, I've been around," said Grant. "I've, been pretty busy, you know."
Muzarawa hiked one leg on a lab stool and perched casually on it. Still in those metal-studded leggings, Grant saw. Very seriously, he said, "What happened between Lane and Egon was not your fault, my friend."
"Yeah, sure, I know that." Grant turned back to emptying the dishwasher.
"Lane told me about your conversation with her." Grant said nothing, kept busy unloading the glassware. "You can't hide all the time, Grant," Muzarawa said. "The station isn't that big." Straightening and facing the man, Grant said, "I guess I'm embarrassed pretty much. I feel really rotten about it."
"It's not your fault. No one is angry at you. Lane and Egon aren't even angry at each other. Not anymore."
"I don't see how that could be." Muzarawa laughed gently. "They had a peace conference. He agreed to stop telling tales about her, and she agreed not to decorate him with food anymore."
"Really?"
"Really." Grant felt better than he had in days. "And they're not boiled at me?"
"Why should they be?"
Before Grant could think of a reply, Muzarawa abruptly changed the subject. "Are you enjoying your work?" Grant's heart sank again. "That's not a joking matter."
"I was not joking."
Unloading the dishwasher and putting the gleaming glassware in their proper cabinets as he spoke, Grant confessed, "I don't mind the labor. It's the time I'm losing that hurts."
"Ah, yes," said Muzarawa, shifting slightly on the stool, stretching his legs as if they pained him.
"I'm supposed to be working toward my doctorate in astrophysics," Grant went on, growing angrier with each word. "How in the name of the living God can I do that when there isn't even another blast-dratted astrophysicist on the station?"
Muzarawa nodded solemnly.
"Yes, I see. I understand. Look, I could spend my entire 4 years here without making a nanometer of progress toward my doctorate.
That would be a shame."
"A shame? It's a tragedy. This is wrecking my whole life."
"I put in many hours of dog work," Muzarawa said, "back when I was a grad student in Cairo."
"You're Egyptian?" Grant assumed Egyptians were tobacco-hued Arabs, not deeply black Africans.
Muzarawa shook his head. "I am Sudanese. Sudan is south of Egypt, the land that was called Nubia in ancient times."
"Oh. I received my degrees at the University of Cairo."
"I see.
It's easier for a black man there than at most European universities."
"We have laws against racial prejudice in the States."
Muzarawa grunted.
"Yes, I know of your laws and the realities behind them."
"The new morality sees to it that there's no racial bias in the schools," Grant said.
"I'm sure."
"They do!"
With a shrug of his broad shoulders, Muzarawa asked, "Tell me, did you take any undergraduate courses in fluid dynamics?"
Caught off guard again by another sudden change of subject, Grant answered hesitantly,
"One. You need to know some fluid dynamics to understand how stellar interiors work."
"Condensed matter," Grant nodded, "and degenerate matter." Muzarawa nodded back, and the two of them quickly slipped into a discussion of fluid dynamics, safe and clean, a subject where mathematics reigned instead of messy, painful human relationships. Within a few minutes, Muzarawa was using one of the chem lab's computers to show Grant the problems of the planet-girdling Jovian ocean he was working on. Grant understood the basics and listened avidly as the Sudanese fluid dynamicist explained the details.
In the back of his mind, he felt warmly grateful that Muzorawa was taking the time to bring some spark of interesting ideas into his dull routine of drudgery. It ended all too soon. Glancing at the clock display in the lower corner of the computer screen, Muzorawa said, "I'm afraid I must go. Wo has called a big meeting with the department heads. Budget proposals." Nodding, Grant said, "Thanks for dropping in." Muzorawa flashed a dazzling smile. "It was nothing. And stop being a hermit. Join us at dinner." "Us?" "Egon, Tamiko, Ursula." "Lane?" He cocked his head slightly to one side. "Yes, maybe even her. But we'll keep her on the opposite side of the table from Egon." Grant laughed. "We'll sit her next to you." He was as good as his word. Apprehensive, uncertain, Grant entered the cafeteria with the first surge of people coming in for dinner. As he slowly made his way along the serving line, pushing his tray and making his selections absent-mindedly, he looked around for Muzorawa or Karlstad or any of the others, none of them in sight. Then he saw O'Hara getting into the line, with Muzorawa's bearded face a few heads behind her. By the time he had finished loading his tray, Karlstad, Kayla Ukata, and Tamiko Hideshi were also in line. Feeling awkward, Grant hesitated a moment, then decided it was foolish to just stand there dithering. Most of the tables were unoccupied as yet, so he picked an empty one big enough for six and sat down facing the line. Sure enough, O'Hara came straight to him, still limping slightly. Then Muzorawa and the others, they all sat at Grant's table and said hello as if nothing had happened. Finally, Karlstad picked his way deftly through the line and joined them. Muzorawa had saved a seat for him on the opposite side of the table from O'Hara, who had placed herself next to Grant. Just as Karlstad sat down, the light panels in the ceiling flickered once, twice. They all looked up. "Uh-oh," said Hideshi. "Wait," Muzorawa replied softly. "I think it's stabilized." The lights suddenly went out altogether, plunging the crowded cafeteria into complete darkness. Grant heard the throng of diners moan, an instinctive collective sob of fear and tension that quickly dissolved into grumbling and muttering. He felt his heart thumping beneath his ribs. "It's stabilized, all right," Karlstad sneered. "What is it?" Grant asked, breathless with anxiety. "What's going on?" Dim emergency lighting winked on, throwing the cafeteria into pools of faint light and deep shadow. "Power outage," Ukata said, almost hissing the words. "It happens every now and then," Muzorawa said, calm and reassuring. "We need electrical power to keep the air pumps going," Grant realized, sitting wire tense in his chair. "It might be Io's flux tube expanding," Karlstad suggested. "More likely a plasma circuit between Io and the planet," said Ukata. "Yes," Muzorawa agreed. "We probably passed through a plasma cloud and it overloaded our generators." "I don't like this," Hideshi admitted, her voice trembling. Grant asked, "Plasma clouds jump from the cloud tops to Io?" His own voice sounded high and shaky. "Not often," Muzorawa replied, "but it has been observed from time to time." Karlstad muttered, "And we're just lucky enough to be in the middle of it." "How long?" The lights came back on. Everyone sighed gratefully. The cafeteria echoed with 100 chattered, relieved conversations. It took a while for Grant to feel at ease again. Losing electrical power could be fatal. There are backup generators, he reassured himself, and superconducting batteries that can run the life support systems for days on end. Still, he treasured the bright, glareless light from the ceiling panels. Everyone seemed to relax. "Hell, I was looking forward to a candlelight dinner," someone shouted. People laughed. Too loudly, Grant thought. "They're forcing themselves to forget the blackout," he realized. "To bury it, pretend it never happened, or at least pretend it'll never happen again." Karlstad started making cynical jokes about someone in the biology department whom Grant actually knew. A fussy little neurophysiologist who was counting the days until his time was up and he could head back to Earth.